Okay, Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah says, Elu mutarin ba'achila. These are the things that are permitted for consumption. In other words, we've gotten to the most lenient list here. We talked about things that are asr ba'hanah and asr ba'achila. We talked about things that are asr ba'achila, but they are mutar ba'hanah. And now we're talking about things that are mutar ba'achila. So, what are the things that when you get hold of them from Gayim, they are mutar ba'achila? You're allowed to eat them. Chalav shechalavo gai v'yisrael ro'eu. If you have milk that a guy milked, and a Jew was watching him. If the Jew was watching the process, there's no problem. Vahadvash, right, there's no concern that he mixed any not kosher milk into it. Vahadvash, or honey that was obtained from a guy. Vahadav devanios, or there's two explanations here actually what this refers to. Either it's referring to clusters of grapes, although some explain this that it's referring to honeycombs. Either way, if you have dav devanios, afal pisha menatvos, even though they are dripping. So we're going to just go with the simple understanding that it's wine, that it's clusters of grapes. And what this is saying is that even though there might be liquid dripping out of these grapes, that doesn't make a difference. There's no concern of yain nesach here. They're grapes. So that's fine. Now, in behem, now the Mishnah notes parenthetically, in behem yishum hechsher mashka. They also don't have the issue with them for hechsher mashka. What's hechsher mashka? So hechsher, from lashon of actually kosher, it's the same word. Lahakshir is to prepare, right? So mashka is a liquid. What does that mean? What hechsher mashka are we talking about? So this is a concept in Hilchos Tuma V'Tahara. A very simple concept is that in order for things to become tummy, not everything can become tummy just by coming into contact with something that is tummy. So for example, we talked about in the past that if you have a metal watch that comes into contact with the dead body, well, the metal watch becomes tummy. But the issue is like this. What about an apple? Let's say I have an apple, and it comes into contact with the dead body. Does it become tummy right away? And the answer is, well, it depends. Anything that grows from the ground needs to be prepared in some way in order for it to be susceptible to tumah. So what does that mean? What that means is, how does something that grows from the ground become prepared? So first of all, you have to sever from the ground. If something is connected to the ground, it can't become tummy, right? If you have a tree, if a dead body comes into contact with a tree that's connected to the ground, the tree doesn't become tummy, right? Grass that's grown from the ground does not become tummy. But if you sever the apple from the ground, you disconnect it from the tree, can it now become tummy? Well, nope, not yet. And it has to undergo what we really call as hechsher. Hechsher is the preparation when the food comes into contact, when that food that grows from the ground comes into contact with one of seven liquids, the food becomes, now it's susceptible to tummy. Now it could become tummy subsequently. So if you have an apple that comes into contact with water or blood or dew or honey or a whole list of things, on the list of things that are machshir foods to be makabel tuma, that prepares foods to enable them now to become susceptible to tuma, is wine. So the question is, if an apple comes into contact with wine or with water, does it automatically become susceptible to tuma? So it depends. It depends if you wanted it to come into contact with that liquid. So if you were rinsing off the apple in order to clean it, and you wanted the water to be rinsing over the apple, so now the apple does become susceptible to tuma. It is mukhshar now, makabel tuma. If you didn't want it, then it doesn't. Now, there's another interesting idea over here, and that is, what about something having the status as a mashke? What things, in order for those things, like water or honey or blood, in order for them to be machshir of food, to be makabel tuma, so the interesting thing is that they have to have a status of liquid. Wait a second. What kind of thing doesn't have a status of liquid? And the answer is, well, if something is considered to be a food and not a liquid, it's considered to be ochlin. But what's something that would have a status in halacha as ochlin and not a mashke? And the answer is, if I have little droplets of juice that are dripping out of the grapes, do those juice droplets have a status of ochlin on halacha, or do they have a status of mashke in halacha? And the answer is, that, well, right now, that's what we're talking about in this mission. It says, "In behem yishum hechsher mashka." These droplets of juice that are oozing out of these grapes, they do not have a status of wine in halacha. They do not have a status of a mashka in halacha. And because they don't have a status of a mashka in halacha, if they came into contact with an apple, let's say, and and the apple now is, this is the first liquid it's coming into contact with, the apple does not become mukhsha lekabel tumah. The apple would not be susceptible to tumah yet because it has to come into contact with something that has a status of a mashke in halacha. And this does not have a status of a mashke in halacha. Okay, now, the Mishnah goes on and says, ukvashin. Kvashin is also, like we talked about before, we talked about preserves in the previous Mishnah, but there's something unique about these ones. Ukvashin and the preserves, she'ein darkan l'seis l'sof n'yan v'chometz, that their way is not to put in wine or vinegar. Right? We talked about in the previous Mishnah that if you have preserves that are typically prepared by putting wine or vinegar into, so then that would be a problem. You're not allowed to eat those things that you get, those preserves that you get from a guy. But if the preserves were prepared by a guy, and it's not, you don't typically put wine or vinegar into those things, then there's no problem. The taras she'ena trufa, or if you have the taras fish, which was a kosher fish that we were talking about in the previous Mishnah, but it's not all mashed up. It's not fully mashed up, and you can tell that you can see that there are certain parts of the body that are still intact, and you can tell that it's from a kosher fish. So then that's also fine. V'tzir she'yesh badaga, or if you have fish brine that has the daga in it. Remember, we talked about the kilbis fish. So that's the daga kilbis. So if it has the kilbis fish floating in that brine, that's fine. As we talked about before, that the kilbis fish, if it's able to float, if it's able to exist, live in that brine, then that's a telltale sign that it's kosher brine. It's from kosher fish. The Allah shel chiltis, or the leaf of chiltis. Remember, how, before we talked about kor shel chiltis, we said was the grain, the kernel, or the grain of chiltis, of asafoetida. Now we're talking about a different part of the plant, which was the leafy part. So the leaf of the chiltis, of the asafoetida plant, so that they wouldn't cut up using knives. So that's a fine, that's perfectly fine to get that from a guy, and to eat it even. V'zeisim gluskaos, so let's break this up. Zeisim are olives, right? And gluskos, well, we know that gluska is a cake. And milgulgulin. Milgulgulin is actually from a lashon of a galgal, right? A galgal, a circle or something that's round. Legalgel, galgalim. So what's milgulgulin? It means that they were rounded. What does it mean they were rounded? You have olives, zeisim gluskos. So I have olives that are cakes that are milgulgulin, that are rounded. What that means is like this. We have a mishnah like this actually in Masechta Shabbos, that one of the ways that we refer to an egg when it's undergoing cooking, when it's undergoing heating up, we say it is a beitza that's milgulgeles, that's a round. Why? Because according to some, it's because when it's cooking, it bounces around, it rolls around. So similarly over here, we're talking about the olives. When the olives are heated up, so they were heated up in order to soften them a lot, in order to allow the oil to ooze out. So let's say you have these zeisim gluskos hamigugalin. In other words, what it means is that you have olives that a guy was pressing into making these into a round kli, into a round shape, to making like this cake of olives, like you see sometimes still sold, and he would soften them. Right, he would push them, press them into this round utensil in order to soften the olives. So there's no concern. You're allowed to eat those olives. Why? There's no concern that they put wine into it. Rabbi Yossi Omer Hashluchin. Rabbi Yossi says actually Hashluchin, those that are sent asurin. What does it mean? Those that are shluchin, that are right, like a shliach as a messenger. What does it mean? Those that are sent. So actually, what that refers to is olives that are so soft that when you pick them up, the stems come off. So if they're so soft that when you pick them up, the stems come off, then that's a telltale sign that the pits, the olive pits come off because they're so soft, that's a telltale sign that there is wine mixed in. Because the only way that it got to be that soft is if they mixed wine into it. Okay, now, hachagavim, if you have grasshoppers, now this is talking about kosher grasshoppers, habayim in a salula, that come from the salula. Salula means a little basket, right? A sal is a basket, a regular basket. A salula is a little basket. So there were little baskets that they would put in front of the store shop, kind of like how we have candy bars. So they had little baskets, and those in the little baskets they had kosher grasshoppers for sale. Asurin, those are asur ba'achila. Why? So if they had these kosher grasshoppers for sale over there, so those are asur to eat because they might have sprinkled some wine into it. Min a heftek, but if it's grasshoppers that came out of the storage, so then mutar, those are mutar, those you can actually eat. Why? Because there's no concern that they put wine into those grasshoppers, because if it was in the storage, they wouldn't have put wine into it because the wine makes it go bad sooner. So the chen l'chuma, by the way, says the Mishnah, parenthetically, you should know that the same thing holds true for chuma. What does that mean, the same thing is true for chuma? So this is when you have a kohen, not all kohanim were super honest people or super meticulous in their religious observance. And so if you had a kohen who got hold of a ton of chuma, the Israelim, we know we've talked about in the past, what is chuma? So chuma is the special gift that was given to the kohen from the Yisrael, that when a Yisrael grew crops, right, grew grain, let's say, so he harvests the grain, he brings it into the silo, he threshes it, he winnows it, and then he has a great big pile, and now he levels off the top of the pile, that's called meruach. Once he does that, now he's chayv to take off certain things to give them to the kohen and to the levi. He first takes off a little bit to give to the kohen. That first little bit that he takes off to give to the kohen from the grain is called truma. He can give any amount on a level of the raisa, and he gives that any amount to the kohen. That's what we call as truma gedola. When the levi gets his package of meiser, and then the levi takes off some stuff, he also has to take off something to give to the kohen. So that's called truma's meiser. But so okay, either way, when the kohen gets hold of this truma, it's a little bit annoying actually to deal with truma sometimes. Because, well, first of all, you have to eat in a state of tahara, but also if you got a lot of truma and you want to sell it, it's very hard to sell it. Why? Because, well, the demand is very small. Why? Why is there such low demand? Because the only people who are going to be buying it from you are kohanim. So it's a lot easier and it's a lot more profitable to sell something as chulin. There's a much bigger market for that. And so some kohanim who were dishonest would sell truma and not tell the purchaser. And they would tell them that it was chulin. They would treat it like it was regular run-of-the-mill food that every Yisrael is allowed to eat. And so what does this have to do with truma? So the answer is, if the kohen is selling truma in a little basket in front of the store, so then that's a problem. That there's concern about, that he might be masking the truma as regular run-of-the-mill chulin food that every Jew can eat and enjoy. But if he's pulling the truma out of storage, so then the food that he's selling out of storage, then there's no concern that he would be masking truma as chulin, because he's nervous that if the chacham in town find out that he's got a whole storage filled with truma that he's masking as chulin, they're going to shut down his whole business. Okay, so what do we say here very briefly? What we said is we gave a list of foods that are permitted to eat when you obtain them from a guy. Not only are they mutar b'hanah, they are even mutar b'achila. You're allowed to eat these foods. What's on the list? Milk that was milked by a guy when a Jew was watching. Dvash, honey that was obtained from a guy, or the clusters, grape clusters that were obtained from a guy, even if they're dripping out little juice droplets, that's still fine. And by the way, the Mishnah tells us that those little droplets, that the juice that oozes out, is not going to be machsher food. It's not going to be machsher things that grow from the ground in order to be a makabel tuma. Same thing we talked about preserves. If preserves were made by Gaim in a way, the kind of preserves that didn't typically involve putting wine or vinegar into, or if you have taris that's not mashed up, or if you have brine that allows the kilbus fish to float in it, or you have the leaf of chiltus, as opposed to cards of chiltus, or if you have these olives that were pressed into a cake. Rav Yossi tells us that if they're shluchin, if they are so soft that when you pick them up, the pit comes out, so then that's going to be usher. What about grasshopper? So that depends if it's coming out of the little basket or if it's coming out of storage. If it's coming out of the little basket by the store shop, so then that's going to be usher to buy from a guy. But if it's from out of storage, from the heftik, so then that's going to be fine, because there's no way that they put wine into those chagavim. What about truma? We said a similar idea holds true to truma. If you're nervous that a kohen is selling truma masked as chulin, so then you're not allowed to buy that stuff. You can't eat that stuff. It might be truma, but that's only if the food that the kohen is selling, and we're nervous about this kohen. We don't know what his story is. He has a tendency to sell, and he's a dishonest kohen maybe. So we say that if it's coming out of a little basket by a store shop, that's a problem. But if it's coming out of storage, then that's going to be okay. All right.